Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're on the last Sunday of our 4G series, Pathway to Discipleship. And looking back over those past three Sundays, I wanted to give you sort of a review, but I hope this is the takeaway that you got from those three and thinking about this also in terms of what we'll talk about today. First of all, a disciple of Jesus responds to God's love by giving him the glory for his creating and saving us. King David gave glory to God for his creative power, saying in Psalm 139, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well." And St. Paul responds to the gift of salvation in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, saying, "For by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God." We were created by God, and when we fell away, he redeemed us with the life blood of his Son, Jesus. For that, God deserves all the praise and all the glory. Secondly, a disciple of Jesus responds to God's love because he has gathered us into his family of believers. In 1 John 3, the beloved disciple of Jesus notes, in almost stunned unbelief, "Behold, what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are." For this reason, the family of God gathers to worship God, to praise him for his marvelous deeds, and to serve him, knowing we have been made a part of his family. A family where perfect love dwells, not because of his children, but because of its loving Father and his sacrificial brother. Thirdly, a disciple of Jesus responds to God's love by going into this world of disbelief and sin with a message of forgiveness and reconciliation. God in Christ has reconciled the world to himself, and we willingly take that message in word and deed, not to change the world, but to tell them that the world's been changed by Christ, who took sinners and made them holy and righteous before him, so that we might approach his heavenly throne in confidence of our forgiveness and grace. And so we move to the fourth and final G, which is give, which is also a response to God's love as he gave his one and only Son for the life of the world and more. He didn't stop there. By dying on the cross, he opened the gates of heaven for one and all who believed and trusted in his name. Jesus proclaimed himself as the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. That's the love we're responding to. Giving is the response of a disciple who has recognized that Christ gave us out of love his perfect life in return for our sinful lives. In today's gospel, Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Did you hear that? That's where God finds his good pleasure, in giving to us the kingdom of God. Now, I want to apologize to all you who are not sports fans. I know maybe I've gotten carried away the last couple of weeks. It is, after all, the Major League Baseball playoffs. So you're just going to have to forgive me for this. You know, we're headed into the World Series. You know, we don't have anything invested at this point. The Cardinals have, you know, set down their bats and cleats for a while until next season. If you're a Padre fan like we are, yeah, you haven't got much to root for at 3-1. But this is the point I want to make. What do you get if your team wins the championship? I don't know, I look at the crowds and they just go crazy when their team wins a game. I mean, if you watch any of the games, you can hardly believe the noise and the, people standing up for a third pitch, you know, and just what would have been a normal game, you know, they would have just been sitting there and watching and maybe politely applauding. But what do you get when your team wins the championship? It's actually a loss. If you attend one of those games, well, you're out the money of a very expensive ticket. I have no idea what they cost. I'll probably never be able to afford one. And don't buy me one. I don't really care. I'd rather watch it on TV anyway. But if you're really into it, you might even go out and buy yourself a jersey of your favorite team with your favorite player's name on the back. And then you're out another $160. Now, on the other hand, the players will make their millions in their contract negotiations and their commercial endorsements. Don't panic now. We've all been there. We've bought those jerseys. How many of you bought Rams t-shirts only to have the Rams leave St. Louis and go to Los Angeles? What do you do then? Retire their jersey? When God won the victory over sin, death, and hell by sacrificing his son on the cross, all heaven broke out in cheers of adoration. Why? Because his victory became our victory in a very real way. All who are baptized in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were given the gift of eternal life and all the riches that come with that, all the riches of heaven. You want to wear a jersey? Put on a jersey that carries the name of Jesus, whom at the day of judgment, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is the Lord. He has won the victory, and the benefits to us are out of this world. Our Lord is the one who gives. He first gives. Having received all these heavenly gifts, how does a disciple of Jesus then respond? It shouldn't really be that hard to deduce here. We glorify God. We gather with the family he's called us into to worship him in fellowship. We take the good news. We go out into the world. And finally, we give. That should be the natural response, having heard such glorious news. You know, no one actually forces you, if you've got a favorite team, to go out and buy a jersey. You do it because why? You love the team. As a disciple, no one coerces you to give back to God. You just do it because you love God and you love his people. When the Corinthians had made a pledge to help with the saints in Jerusalem with a financial gift, Paul encouraged them this way, and I think this is really profound. He says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. A line further down, he gives them the motivation of the gospel, speaking of our divine giver. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Such love God has for us. And again in verse 10, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. We understand at this point, Paul's not necessarily talking about the food on your table, but the food that gives eternal life, Christ, the bread of life. You know, years ago, one of our synodical groups came out with a stewardship slogan, and boy, they were right on target. It's called, His Love, Our Response. It expressed the theological truth that God gives us freely, in spite of our sin, in spite of our waywardness, in spite of our rebellion against Him. And that becomes our motivation and our instruction for our giving back to God. We don't deserve God's grace, but He gave it regardless. Those we give to for the sake of the ministry don't deserve it either. But we give freely because He freely gave to us. You know, God doesn't have needs. He is completely self-sufficient. But your neighbor does. There are all kinds of needs around us. But the greatest need our world has is life in Christ. So God's method of distribution of His grace is to provide the resources of His church family so that we may share that wealth with others. Again, I'm not talking about money here. That's a small part of it. So what can you give to your family and to your neighbors that will bring them the life of Christ? This is where we need to start looking specifically at our own personal gifts and abilities. What has God given you to share with others with the goal of drawing them closer to God? In our church, we often talk about time, talents, and treasure. Can you sing? Can you play an instrument? Others will be built up when you offer those gifts in worship. It helps us to glorify God. Can you teach? Have you considered giving the gift of teaching to the children in our Sunday school? Do you have building or maintenance skills to help us keep our worship and education facilities looking presentable? Do you have the gift of administration? Maybe consider joining one of our committees to help them stay on task and complete the goals for which our church is striving. Do you have the gift of hospitality? Would you consider being a greeter and following up with those who attend our church for the first time and work to welcome and include them in our church family? As I mentioned at the announcements, next month we're going to be passing out some guides, as we have done in the past, to help you individually find your place in the church. A way to give back to God by giving to others. And I pray that you'll look at those opportunities to give back to God. If it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, can it not be our good pleasure to give back to the one that we'll never, ever be able to repay? I can't help but my mind goes to Matthew 25. There's two sections sort of juxtaposed to each other. One for Jesus talking to those who would not receive Him. And to the second part, He talks about those who did receive Him. And He's talking about the separation of the sheep and the goats. And, you know, to the sheep He turns, to those on His right. And He says, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick and in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Whoever said you will never outgive God knew what they were talking about. The scriptures say he gives more grace. Even when we think we've been blessed with everything God has possible to give us, he gives us more. But God does look for a response from us. The joy of being in the family of God is that he doesn't expect us to do it all, everything. He doesn't even expect us to do it perfectly. He did it all perfectly for us. And he gives us the gifts we need to function as a church. When the church is motivated to give, it benefits others and it draws them to God. I know that you don't want to be left out of this blessing. So let's work together, learning from Jesus how to give and discover God's pleasure of giving, a giving that benefits all. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.